At some point, my brother and I got tired of my little brother, and we went up into this loft in the garage where he wasn't allowed to go, and when we came down, we had the worst alien imitation ever, but we'd convinced him that we were aliens. We replaced our brothers, and I'm pretty sure he thinks we still are aliens, so it's kind of the way it goes. How are you at following rules? Okay, that's honest. Good, good. I think of each time a new sports season starts, there's some new rules, whether it's about kickoff places or restrictor plates. There's some kind of a change, and people talk about the rules a lot. It's a popular subject, but not a popular thing. I think I've had a kind of an inconsistent relationship with rules. As a kid, I followed a lot of rules without any question. I just did because I knew I was supposed to. That didn't work at home for some reason. I did that at school. If a teacher said, this is what you're going to do, I was going to do it automatically. My wife says I'm a perfect patient for a doctor because if the doctor says, here's what you got to do, that's what I'm going to do. That's just who I am. But it didn't work so well at home. I wasn't really great at following rules at home. I ran away from home once. Well, I rode away from home. My friend had invited me after school to go to his house, and for whatever reason, my mom said no, and I don't remember why, and I guess that doesn't even matter. I was about 6, and my intellect was not that developed yet, and we can argue about whether that ever happened or not. But I guess you could bet where I went. I mean, my mom guessed pretty easily. I went right to that friend's house. I rode my bike down the street the way I often did and took a left turn and rode all the way to the other side of town to my friend's house. And again, I was 6. I can't imagine my kids doing that now. If they walk down the street, I want to keep an eye on them. But, you know, it was a different time. And I think to myself, wow, I'm old. I was 6 years old, and it was a long time ago for me. But do you ever get that feeling that you act like a 6-year-old still? That before God, I still seem like a 6-year-old? Because he's given me some pretty simple things to follow, and I'm not that great at following them. All these years later, I haven't gotten any better at it. Well, maybe tiny bits better. But we seem to believe that we know what we need. You know, my mom wanted me home. She knew what I needed. We think that we know what's best for us, that we can basically make it on our own if God would just give us everything we ever wanted. So the giving us everything we ever wanted seems to be key for me. We're going to look in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. So let's read a few things and we'll come back to that. In Genesis 2, starting with verse 4, it says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. No shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet been sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grown out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into 4 headwaters. The name of the first was the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river was Gihon, and the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. Now we say all that to get to this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And here, I'm thinking, only one rule. Wow, that's easy. I can do that. No problem. One rule. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever said, Adam and Eve had it so easy, all they had to do was avoid that one tree and we wouldn't have thorns and weeds, we wouldn't have sunburn, we wouldn't have any of these problems that we have. Women would have no pain in childbirth. I don't know what that would have, maybe there would have been a stork. I don't know. But it would have been easy. But you think, all they had to do was obey one rule. don't eat from that tree. How could that be so difficult? I mean, come on, look how great this place is. It is pretty easy to talk about how good someone else has it or had it, isn't it? A few years ago, I was boring a friend. I was looking for a car. We were having trouble finding a used car. We had to buy one with really high mileage. And even then, it was like $9,000 to get this high-mileage car. And I would tell my friend how annoying it was to watch people drive by in $90,000 vehicles. And I think, I didn't want the $90,000 vehicle. Well, some days I did. But I didn't want the $90,000 vehicle. I just wanted to know, what job does that person have to have in order to drive that vehicle? How do they afford that? What are they, rocket scientists down the street in McDonough? I don't think so. I haven't seen any launch pads. I was jealous, but not in the way that I thought. See, I had gotten used to the idea that, no, I'm not going to drive those expensive cars. Maybe part of that started in practicality when I tried to sit in a Porsche 911 slant nose and I couldn't put my legs under the steering wheel. So it started off then in practicality. I just won't fit. I know that. But later on, it got to realizing, one, I'm not planning to ever have that much money. Not that I'll be upset if you handed me any. Two, if I ever had that much money, there's no way I'd want to spend that obscene amount of money on a vehicle. It's just not me. So as much as I like to think that I have a good handle on the issue of envy, I really don't. Again, it's not that I wanted the $90,000 car. I just wanted to know what it's like to have a job that pays so much that you could do that. And just so you know, I'm still not looking for one of those. So, I know I said I'm not looking for one of those. I wouldn't have to worry about financing on a used car or whether I should get a close talker and a large drink at Moe's or settle for a Funkmeister and a cup of water. Okay, if you haven't been to Moe's, that won't make sense until later. But I wouldn't have to worry about those little things. So I find I actually am envious, even though I thought I got rid of all kinds of envy before. There's still some in there. We think that we want what other people have. What we think other people have. We marvel that people can mess things up when they've reached the point of 7 or 8 or 9-figure salaries or 10-figure salaries. And we think, you know, we wouldn't mess up if we were in that case. But why wouldn't that mess them up? Why wouldn't they still have troubles? It may just be that they end up in a worse position now because they can afford financially to do anything and they may indulge more. I don't know. But that's a little bit off the point for me. I'm going to continue hoping that I'll be able to make enough money to pay for my family, and that's about it. I guess I need to get started by making my expectations more in line with those of God. And just why is that so hard for us to get our expectations in line with those of God? Jesus simplified some things for us. Even as he helped us see how hard following God was going to be, he made some things simpler. We don't know when God is going to put our good plans into action. We really don't know what his plans are. I don't always feel like I know that he has plans for me. There are times when I'm not even sure if that's accurate, that maybe he just wants us to be faithful no matter what. And maybe he doesn't say, you know, I'm hoping that you'll go to this church or to that job. I suspect that he does have plans, but sometimes I'm not so sure. And that's just me being honest. I don't always feel that that's there. But Jesus did give us this to work with. And in Matthew 22, it's a popular section, but I think it's also, we read it and maybe we don't always get it. Matthew 22, starting with verse 37, this is after being asked what the greatest commandment was. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I also like to read this from another translation, The Message. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there's a second set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself." Hear that again. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. So we're back to simple rules again. Back to a tough rule to follow well, but simple. Love. Love. Love God with everything that is you and love others as yourself. Some people, when they get to this, you might think, well, I don't know if I love myself. People have doubt, people have depression, people have pain, and they might not feel like they love themselves. So they said, well, how am I going to love other people if I don't love myself? Years ago, though, I realized, when I'm hungry, what do? When I'm really tired and I have enough sense to go to bed, what do? I go to bed. I sleep. That tired and sense don't necessarily go together. But do you think about your comfort? Do you get a drink when you're thirsty? Do you put on a coat when you're cold? Do you put a Band-Aid on your cut if you're bleeding? Do you do those things? I mean, I do. If you do, then you pretty much know what is required of us to live up to that command. When we're going to love others as we love ourselves, we need to look out for other people who are cold, are thirsty, are hurt. It doesn't matter if I want to say that I'm depressed or if I want to say that I don't like myself. That's not what that love is coming from. You love yourself enough to take care of your needs. And we have to take care of the needs of others. That is part of how we show love to ourselves, and Jesus called that kind of love the second greatest commandment, much like loving God with everything that makes us who we are. So we're back to only one rule. The hardest one you'll ever face, I'm afraid. But it's reason enough to find like-minded people to reach toward that goal with. The body of believers, like a body like this, is meant to together reach towards loving other people with everything that we have and everything that we are. That's what we're meant to be for each other, a help and a support. And we're supposed to grow together, being discipled towards being those believers that God intends us to be. So if you, like me, are stuck in being a six-year-old before God, we should work on reaching seven this year. We should work on reaching the next age. Don't jump straight to your current age. You might get dizzy. At my age, that would really mess me up. But take a step in the right direction. Move towards growing up. And this has to be done with the people sitting next to you. Being a Christian was not meant to be a solo sport. It was meant to be something that we do as a group. Now, yes, there's solo elements to it, and you have responsibilities for your own personal work, but we have responsibilities to the people all around us. So let's love God and love people with everything that we are. And that's all I've got to say.